Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Reconnect Mahal Podcast, the show that we talk about life's problems that may break. On Reconnect Mahal, we discuss God's answers to life's problems to reconnect our hearts back to the way He originally made us. I'm your host, Brother Prater. I'm so glad you're able to join us. If you have any questions, comments, if you just wanted to the show, feel free to call me at 516-453-9118. That's 516-453-9118. Or you can listen online at actually any podcast platform. You can look up Reconnect My Heart Podcast. That's Reconnect My Heart Podcast. And you'll be able to hear us. Also, just in case you want to give a call, I can't remember if I said the number or not, but telephone number in case you want to speak to me live, it is 516-453-9118. Also, if you want to see the video version, the live version of Reconnect My Heart, you go to reconnectmyheartpodcast.com and you will see the video version. I want to say thank you for all those who have supported me. Thank you so much for your continued presence and support. Sorry, I've been kind of all over the place, but I'm so glad to be here. Today, I want to share this with you. This was actually on my heart, and it's a subject that we're going to talk about. Building up your confidence. Building up your confidence. Well, I found out a lot of times we desire to do things in life, and sometimes all we need is that boost or that word of encouragement. But sometimes what I found out is while we look for encouragement, we end up finding discouragement. What do I mean? Oftentimes when we're looking for someone to give us a push up, we end up finding ourselves centered around people to push us down. Now, unfortunately, what I found out oftentimes, when you get ready to fulfill a purpose or an assignment that God has for you, don't you know the devil gonna always strategically place people in your path?
I think because of the lack of faith, that is amongst you
to try to stop you from progressing where God is trying to take you. But one of the things I always say, we have to take heart and understand, even if it's someone that we know, forgive and press on. I look at life like wrestling. Yeah, I know some people are, you still watch wrestling? Yes. It's a lot of great information you can get from wrestling. One of the things I found out, good morning, Miss Rochelle. One of the things I found out, even like with wrestling, when you see someone that has a tag team partner, and then all of a sudden, that tag team partner betrays them, that tag team, yes, it is so heartbreaking. Oh, it is very disappointing. It could break your heart. But what I found out, even though that person that you chose to have with you, oftentimes there might be a person you may be dependent upon to ride with you from here throughout eternity. But what I found out, oftentimes the person that's going somewhere is the one that sometimes has to be broken off or may have to be purged from somebody or something. See, what I found that oftentimes many of us may not be going to the same destination. We may end up starting off together, but where we end up at may be at two different locations. There are some people that may have a spiritual layover in their life. There may be somebody who may end up being on the same airplane as you, but as soon as there's a drop-off, that destination that you thinking, oh, wow, well, I got a layover, and next couple of hours, we end up catching another flight to go to our destination. Well, while you laying over, that person that rolled with you end up getting their stuff and leaving, catching a taxi because that was their destination. You're like, hey.
I'm about to check the other side right
quick.
Well,
that's why it's so important for us. Oftentimes, I'll say it like this, not for us to either depend upon people. That doesn't mean that you can't trust anybody. No, the main thing is using wisdom. But that doesn't mean that we're not supposed to rely upon anybody. But we just have to be careful in the character that we choose to have people in our lives. It is so important because, unfortunately, sometimes the people that we choose were actually not qualified in the first place. And so what happened, we have unqualified people in a qualified place in our life, and then we give their words value based upon the opinion of what they say we are or what we're supposed to do. But in fact, these people that we're giving this trust to, pertaining to validate us or leading us to a specific purpose or journey, those are the people that we really was not supposed to be getting those counsel from. So that's why it's so important for us to understand that when we look at certain things, we have to first always consult God about it. You know, The Bible tells us, I'm sorry for clearing my throat often, but the Bible tells us that we need to acknowledge him in all our ways, and he shall direct our path or make our pathway straight. In other words, being able to see clearly for us to discern. And discernment simply is being able to see the ending of a thing at the very beginning. You be able to see through. You be able to see the character. You be able to see the purpose. God revealing the purpose or the intent of a particular person or thing.
Got it.
See,
yeah,
the first thing I always say, God will always reveal, because warning first, warning comes before destruction.
Just make sure both sides of the doors are done.
Not being lying about things. God wants us to know not just the truth, but he wants us to know to the things that he has for us to do. And so for us to be able to understand, to see if this is something that God wants us to do, we will see God's fingerprints. God's fingerprints are his approval or authorization. But if we don't see God's fingerprints pertaining to a particular thing or an individual, then we don't accept it. It's just like being in, let's just say, being in the military and you're fighting for the United States of America. But you're waiting on the supplies from the United States to make sure that you have what you need pertaining to either supplies or even, let's say, nourishment, food. And so you get a package and it says from America. Well, you can trust that because it represents, or it's coming from who you represent. That's what I mean. It's coming from who you represent. But if you representing the United States, but you get a package that says, hey, coming from another country, you're like, hey, wait a minute. And especially, it's a country that's actually an enemy of who you represent. Should you receive it? The answer is no. Why? Number one, because it's not coming from who you represent, but also it's coming from who you don't represent. And so that's why it's so important for us to, number one, first, like I said, acknowledge him in all our ways, but also being able to allow God and ask God to help us to discern. And we got to be honest and transparent with God and accept what he revealed. Oftentimes when God reveals something, what do? Well, you know, let me pray about it some more. Or maybe I just hold on to it and maybe it'll change. We think that God's red light will turn to a green light. No. So with that, for us to be able to be careful in what we receive, because ultimately what happens, the things that we end up choosing that God did not authorize us will actually end up affecting us in some way or another. And so sometimes what happens, we don't know the whole detail of how things will affect us. It's like if some people may think, well, you know, I could do a little wrong, and think about it, there'll be a little consequence. But in actuality, that small consequence will end up becoming a long-term deficit in certain areas of your life. All it takes is for the devil to do just a little bit. Look, just a little bit, just to do something to have us to be able to miss, look, the voice of God or the purpose and plan that God's trying to lead us to. And so with that, first, understanding first who God is. Understand who God is, and also understanding who we are in God. And why do I say knowing who God is and then also knowing who we are in God? We first have to know who God is, and also understanding his character, his nature. Because where we're going, we're going to have to rely upon God and his leading to help us to be able to accomplish what we're trying to do. Oftentimes the things that God has for us to do is beyond our scope, is beyond our ability. See, if it was within our ability, to be honest with you, We won't need God. We just need our skill. We won't need God. We just need our ability. You don't need a ladder.
Oh, yeah, appreciate it.
Something that's within our level. No. But oftentimes, the things that God has for us is beyond our reach. And so that's why it's so important for us to recognize that whatever we end up planning on doing, we can't get in the credit for it because this is not something within our ability nor reach. And so that's why it's so important for us to first know God, know who God is, and for us to be able to distinguish between his voice and our emotions. See, oftentimes what God wants us to do is first going to give him glory and also edify the body of Christ. It may help someone to be able to know who he is, but also it may be an opportunity for us to fellowship. And so with that, being able to know who God is and being able to know the voice of God and the word of God, we have to really know God's word in its proper context. I have to say that because a lot of people, they can spit out scriptures, but it's totally out of context. You know, I'm up here witnessing to someone or trying to encourage someone who may have they may have a child incarcerated. And all of a sudden, here I go, well, you know, the Bible said the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Yeah, that is scripture. That is in scripture, but that's not the proper context. And matter of fact, I'm going to throw this out there. Imagine someone saying that to someone that just lost a loved one. You going over there, you're supposed to be helping them. You're supposed to be a grief minister, and you go on that to them after they done lost their loved one. You know, the Lord, the Bible said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Man, come on. Yes, that's in scripture. But the context of that verb, excuse me, of that verbiage, first of all, John said that, but he was wrong. Pertaining to his understanding, him thinking that it was God that took it from him. No, it was the devil. The devil had permission to test Job, but it was the devil's doing, not God's doing. But also on the same token, from a lot of people, you ain't even got to be saved to think about this. Wouldn't you be so pertaining to say to someone that lost their loved one? So let's look at things in the soul. With that, being able to learn God's word, know God's word in its proper context, and also being able to do your research, like we always say, do your due diligence pertaining to scripture in its proper context. Also, for you to be able to understand, even being able to know God's word, hearing the voice of God, because now, like I said, what you're doing, you're going to need the encouragement from the source. Because there are some people, you may end up trying to do something, but there are some people that may come to you, excuse me, or some people that may be in your life or in your circle, and they will actually prevent you from doing it. Why? Because they feel like, well, you can't do that. And they're looking at who you are to them instead of who you are to him. But see, also, people may be looking at you, feel like, well, you know, I don't think you ought to do that. But it wasn't them that told you to do it. It was God that told you to do it. See, I may have your best interest at heart, and I may be looking at you and feeling like, well, I don't want you to do it because I'm looking at, well, I don't want you to do it because it's going to require you to give up something. It may be requiring you to sacrifice some things. It may be requiring you to study. Or, like I say, it may be some people that feel like, well, you can't do that. You can't do that. But we don't know what a person is capable of handling or even doing. And especially if it's an assignment that God told them to do, we that 12B encourages or helps one another should be able to first consult God and discern. If God is telling them to do it, then we should be able to pick up in the spirit. Well, you know what? God told them to do it, but now I got to give them some encouragement or even some assistance. You know, being able to pray, you'd be surprised the power of prayer, what it could do for a person. If we can intercede and pray for some people, you'd be surprised that people will be helped and people will be appreciative. And oftentimes, we don't have to say a whole lot of things to encourage someone. Sometimes your presence can mean a whole lot. And so with that, for us to be able to know God's voice, because oftentimes what we do, like I said, we rely upon other people to give us the encouragement when they did not give us the assignment. Why would we get encouragement or seek encouragement from somebody that did not give us the assignment? So, who gave us the assignment? So if God gave us the assignment, and like I said, he was the source of the assignment, shouldn't we consult him to get the encouragement and the skill and the knowledge? One of the things I always say, oftentimes, like I said, we would depend upon other people, but people were not in the conversation when God told us to do the assignment. So that's why it's so important for us to listen to him and, if you want to say, filter out the noise. Because what happened, oftentimes when God gives you an assignment and it's beyond your ability, see, people will try to give themselves credit for helping you when God told you, and he was the one that supplied your needs and also gave you the skills and the ability. And like I said, God is trying to help us to be dependent upon him. Like I said, there's nothing wrong with getting here. There's nothing wrong with having people in your life. That's encouraging. God built us to have relationship with each other. But the key thing is we're trying to build relationship with people that we don't really trust. We don't know the integrity of the people. Matter of fact, I'm guilty of this too. I'm learning to delegate responsibilities. And so now, unfortunately, what I found out, sometimes when we delegate responsibilities, sometimes we end up making ourselves disappointed because we're giving irresponsible people, or they may not follow through the way that we want them to. And so, matter of fact, for those who may be watching the video version, not on my Facebook page, but on my website, on ReconnectMyHeartPodcast.com. I apologize. My website and my app this week, the designs were a little different. So I'm trying to reach out to the company that did it and tell them to change it back. What I did was I went on and instead of doing it myself, I figured, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and pay for a professional to do it exactly the way I want them to. And I end up paying for the extra money. And all of a sudden, I'm looking, I'm like, no. And so I'm trying to reach out to them and tell them, no, that's not what I wanted. But I have to wait for them to complete the assignment. I'm like, man. And then I looked at it. I said, I told them exactly what to do. And they did the opposite of what I told them to do. That's why I'm like, man, sometimes it's just best for me to do it myself. And so, hey, lesson well learned. Because I know how I am. I am a perfectionist. But even in being a perfectionist, don't you know it takes a lot of confidence? It takes a lot of research. You got to be skillful. You got to be skilled and knowledgeable in the field that you are in. And so with that, what I'm learning, I had to understand, yeah, it's good for me to delegate responsibility, but also there are some times where God wants you to do it yourself. And so with that, being able to, like I said, knowing God's word, knowing the voice of God, and also learning God's leading, being able to listen to God. And like I say, sometimes we can be so busy, we can be so busy where we miss what God is trying to tell us, but we have to understand the ways that God communicates with us. And oftentimes, he'll, especially this particular one, I love when God communicates with us in our dreams. See, all of this is trying to help build your confidence so that way, you, like I said, you know who God is and you know who you are. And when you get instructions from the source, then it can empower you for you to know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthen you or who give you the ability, who has enabled you. But also what I found out, God will give you insight on how to do things in detail. Always think about Noah. Noah was not a professional boat builder, but he took specific instructions from God to be able to create something for something that never happened or never existed. There was never rain before. But God gave him the skill and the ability in detail to make a ship to withstand rain, and not just for him and his family, but even the animal kingdom. Come on now. But only God could do that. And God gave those instructions to Noah. And so with it, if God can give those instructions to Noah, he can give it to you. But you got to think about, even while Noah was building that ark, and he was telling everybody, it's going to rain. Imagine the assassination of his character that the people were saying to Noah. He built that for many years. He preached the same message for many, many years. And so in the midst of that, he still persevered. Same thing with you. You still have to persevere. One of the things I found out, matter of fact, and I think my brother Jerry and I were having a conversation, and he said something that caught my attention, and I appreciate it. But we have to learn to be consistent. The Bible tells us we're even, how to say, in season and out of season. And so what we have to look at, when you are consistent in something that God have you to do, yes, it may be lonely. It may be hard when it seems like you're the only one doing it. But don't you know, in your consistency, and even if you building up your confidence, God is trying to help you to be mentally strong and focused. Focus on Him. Any focus outside of God is a distraction. Anything or anybody outside of the focus of God, and when I say God, that means, of course, God, but also the assignment or the individuals that God is allowing. God is giving access to you in your view. If there is anything or anybody outside of God and the people that God sends, they are a distraction. It or they are a distraction. And so God is trying to help you to stay focused, because in order for you to have your confidence built up, you have to focus and remain intent in obeying what God told you, so that way you can have everything accomplished. Ultimately, your confidence is built up, but understanding that your confidence is the destination, but focus is a journey. Because you have to focus on this. In the midst of disappointment, in the midst of hurt, in the midst of rejection, understanding there are things that's pulling on you to try to derail your focus, because the devil does not want you to become confident in who you are, nor who you are in him, and for you to complete the assignment that God has for you. And so with that, if the devil trying to get you off focus, if the devil trying to make you, make you miss what God has for you, all that stuff, if he can get your focus, he can get your confidence. And so what I found out, oftentimes, the harder or the closer that you are and have your confidence built up, the closer that it is when there are people that may abandon you, reject you, or may even try to offend you. Because there are some people, of course, I understand there may be misunderstanding. It may be something accidental. It might be a little small something. But we talking about deliberate. When people try to assassinate your character, when people try to lie, when people try to put people against you, ultimately the devil trying badly to make you not reach where God is trying to take you. And so with that, building up your confidence, the best thing I always tell people, look at what you're doing as a homework assignment. And let's just say your homework assignment, you want to build your confidence. You want to have your confidence built up. You want to have your confidence. You want to have your esteem built up, your self-esteem built up. You write down that if you want to say confidence or self-esteem. And you find every scripture pertaining to what God said about YOU. YOU and the promises that he has for you. Write down all of them in detail. And after you write them in detail, then you cross out the thou and you put your name in it. Thou or you. Instead of you shall go and be blessed, you can put Brother Prater will go and be blessed, or I will be blessed. You know, whatever. Make it personal. Make what God's word says personal. Personalized scripture. But then also, along with you being able to look at and study, what you have to do, you have to understand, even with the things that you have dealt with in life, that does not define you. What you've dealt with does not define who you are. It should refine who you are. Also, not just what you've dealt with, but even what people have said about you. Listen, every word that come out of people's mouth does not have to be factual. You should not have to receive everything that people have said about you. What you need to do, you need to examine it. That's an old saying to say, sometimes you need to eat the meat and throw the bone away. If there are people who, first of all, I'll do this. I want to look at the quality of people that speak. I got to look and see, okay, is this person operating in love? Also, this person have an ulterior motive? Now, also, the other thing, people may be speaking. And if it's constructive criticism, I'm like, okay, and see, I'll listen to what a person says. I would advise you, listen to what a person says, and most importantly, turn it up and give it to God. Because even if somebody says something, God will reveal the motive of why they said something. I'm telling you from personal experience, and not just my testimony, but many others, God will reveal. I'm telling you, God will not allow his people to be duped. Unfortunately, we allow ourselves to be duped or be used. But do you actually think God wants you to be a walking mat to somebody? No. And I know some people, well, you know, I just believe in being meek. You know, I don't want no problem. And to be honest, I'm going to get on my soapbox, but that's what a lot of us as believers, we mess up at. We feel like, well, you know, we just gonna give it to God. No, God has given you that for you to deal with it. It's time for us to stop being spineless Christians. I said it, yeah. God wants us to, now, like I always say, giving it to God and examining it, because there are some things, depending on the severity of things, God may be telling us, hey, you need to take actions here. And actions don't have to be physical. Matter of fact, let's just say at work, you see some wrongdoing going on at work. You being mistreated at work. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say, I'm just going to give it to God. Okay. But what if God allowing you to deal with that, so that way you can deal with things as far as going through the chain of command? You know, look, you got to know your rights. I know at my job we have something called the SOP, Standard Operating Procedure, that tell us how to do our job. But then there's another booklet that talks about the general orders pertaining to our conduct, our appearance, behavior, all these things. And if there's a violation, while it's happening to everybody else, now God is having you to be a witness of it, so that, well, even a partake of it, so that way you know the steps. You can make sure that things are in place to make sure that it does not happen again. Or it might reveal that that person that's doing it may be the wrong person for that position. And so you being able to make sure you do your part and say, well, hey, this right here, this is something they did it. But all I can always say, make sure we document everything. Make sure we have done our due diligence. Make sure that we are blameless in situations, so that way we can be able to nip things in the bud. But as long as, well, you know, I'm not going to say anything, you know, God got this. Well, understand that God works through people. God works through people. And for us to just allow ourselves to be a walking man, come on now. So, yes, it is so important for us to consult God and go to His Word, study His Word, but also know our biblical and legal rights. I think a lot of times, you know, I'm going to say this. Sometimes we just say the excuse, well, you know, I'm just going to pray about it. And we use that, our motive, to say that as an excuse for us not to do anything. We think it'll work itself out. Like I say, what if God allowing that situation to happen to you, for you to be able to be the change in the situation? So, and matter of fact, what if God allowed it to happen to you? Because He knows that you're going to pray and do things His way instead of somebody that's ungodly that end up doing some time. Like I said, for us to start doing what we're supposed to do in the eyesight of God, handle it His way. That doesn't mean not handle it at all. That doesn't mean that we dismiss it. That doesn't mean that we sweep things under the rug. We always consult God, and He will give us a strategy of how to handle it. Or He may have us to help someone to handle it, or whatever step that He has us to do, we got to consult Him about it. But it is so important of us to be a proactive, not reactive or inactive. And so with that, being able to be confident in who we are and learning, you have to learn, you have to spend, another thing, we have to spend quality time with YOU. Spending quality time with ourselves. Don't you know there are so many people, they run from that person that's in their mirror. See, if we don't know who we are, if we don't spend time with us, then we don't know who we're investing into. We have to stop avoiding quality time with God, but also quality times with ourselves. There are so many people, they hate quiet. They hate be by themselves. You got to be cool with being by yourself. You got to be okay with people abandoning you, people leaving you, even being labeled, being misunderstood, whatever. You have to be okay with these false narratives of the opinions of people who actually mean you no good or does not have your best interest at heart. You have to be okay with it. And that's something that God is trying to help us. God is trying to help us to have thick skin with thin-minded people. That might sound harsh, but this is just being real. Because we ask God to help us, and we ask God to empower us or to help us have the confidence in doing it. It could be something within ministry. It could be something within the church. It could be a vocation. It may be something pertaining to a career path that He's leading you to. But whatever it is, we got to be spiritually sensitive to the voice of God for him to guide us and lead us in where or what he has for us. And so with that, even whatever you may be, whatever you may be facing or going up against, do your homework, do your research on that. One of the things I always tell people, you have to make sure what God has for you to do, you got to make sure that you learn to love that subject. Study it, study it, study it. The Bible says that my people perish for the lack of knowledge. And sometimes we're easily seek advice. We can easily be told what to do when God is trying to help us to get it from the source. Many of us, I'm going to be honest with you, many of us don't like to read. I'm being honest with you. When you look at it overall, there may be some that love to read. Great. But there are some people that don't like to read. There are some people that like to be told what to do instead of reading what to do. But what I found out, when you don't get it from the source, you miss intricate nuggets. You miss detail. You miss specific things. It's like you're missing the Easter egg bunnies that God is trying to reveal to you. And so that's why it's so important for us to study God's word and study our subject matter. Study that particular thing that you're trying to do, you're trying to achieve, so that way you can be confident, not just in who you are, but also your ability in that particular thing. We got to start doing our due diligence. We have to work. We have to work. Matter of fact, I was heard, practice make perfect? No. Practice make improvement. We have to daily improve in that particular thing. That way, we can be able to be confident in that skill. And once we're confident in that skill, it will help us to ultimately be confident in our self-esteem. We have to understand what that subject matter is and practice, 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 practice. See, matter of fact, I've said this before, but Brown Mark, or Mark Brown, the guy that used to play with Prince in the Revolution, when he started, he ended up asking Prince, "Hey, Prince, when do we practice?" He said, "You practice at home. We're here to rehearse." To me, that was deep. See, what you do, you practice at home with your instrument, and then when we get together, then we can rehearse pertaining to our parts. You don't have to learn the song because you learned the song when you were practicing at home. But when we get together, we don't have to learn the song. We just need to learn our parts or learn how to work or gel together. That's the key. In other words, you got to have some you time with that particular skill. Same thing pertaining to church. In order for you to have a corporate praise and worship, you have to have a private praise and worship. You got to know how to worship God and praise God in private so you know how to do it publicly. See? So it's so important for us to learn our skill, practice our skill, practice, 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 practice. Even in the Bible told us to play skillfully. In other words, do your part. And I know some people, well, you know, he just playing for the Lord. Come on now, I'm going to throw this out there. Even when we say that comment, what we got to think about, what about if somebody was trying to play for a secular artist? Let's think about Beyonce. And think about, let's say Michael Jackson. Let's say Dionne Warwick or Celine Dion. Them people, you think I've been playing at church and they know I can't play very well, but they just say I'm playing or I'm singing for God, and now I'm up here trying to do sing or play for Celine Dion, for this person or that person. You think I'm going to get hired? No. Because why? Because that may not be my skill. And so that's why it's so important for us to know our vocation, Know our skills. Know it and do it. Like I say, we have to do it, and we render it to God. It's easy for me to say, oh, but this God, but is it my best? No, it's not. Because the time I could have been practicing, I'm up here watching Deal or No Deal, a Family Feud. No. When I could be practicing, and then that way when I end up going to church or whatever, and I can be able to give God my best because I have done my due diligence. I've practiced. And I hate to say it, but people in the secular realm should not be better than those that within the church. And I know some people, well, it's the same people. No. What I'm saying, I'm talking about people who are in the church who are playing, and we got to understand that there are some people, yeah, there are some people that might be doing both, but truthfully, you have to be able to practice and give God your best. God wants your best. And so if you're playing or you're doing your best, or are you giving God leftovers? Are you giving God a Cain blessing or offering, or are you giving him an Abel blessing or offering? For us to be able to do our due diligence. And so, with that, being able to look at being okay with being alone, being by ourselves, but also learn to be more comfortable and confident in looking into the mirror and speaking life to that person. Speaking life to that person that's in your mirror. Because oftentimes we can easily depend upon someone else to give us a word of encouragement. But what if God is trying to take you to the next level and he's isolating you from people? Now what he wants you to do, yeah, you're waiting for that word of encouragement, but he's trying to make you look in the mirror and say those things that you would tell other people and encourage them. God is trying to tell you to look in the mirror and say those things in your mirror. We waiting on a word of encouragement from somebody else's mouth, and God said, no, I gave you your own mouth. Open up your mouth. Yeah. So with that, being able to understand that, yes, God wants you to know who you are. God wants you to be comfortable with who you are. And when I mean comfortable, I mean being able to look in the mirror and say, you know what, God, thank you. God, I'm made in your image and likeness. God, I know you set me up for a time like this, for me to be able to accomplish through the leading of your spirit, your guidance. You're going to help me to accomplish what I need to. And sometimes you got to learn to talk to yourself, speak to yourself, speak life to yourself. Don't you know right now there's already negative things that's around? Why you got to speak what's on the outside when God's trying to help you to speak life, not only on the from the inside going out, but also from the outside going in, so that way you can become mentally strong to not get derailed on what you see, but stay focused on what you don't see. Also, God is trying to help us to look within the spiritual realm. What did God say about that situation? Because we can look at on the physical, we look at it as dry bones. But in the spirit realm, we can look at it as God's opportunity for him to show himself strong. So in other words, what is God's view or perspective pertaining to what you see? You might look at it as a problem, but I look at it as potential. Especially if God said it. See, let's just say, oh God, I need some paper. You might need some paper. And then all of a sudden God put you in a land full of trees. Would you be discouraged? Think about where does paper come from? Ultimately the source of paper is a tree. Or let's just say, hey, You want a forest, and all of a sudden, while you get ready to look for a forest, all of a sudden, you see, oh my, all I got are bunches of apples. Well, don't you know there are seeds inside those apples? That might be the beginning of your forest. You think you look for green trees, but God is trying to give you fruit on them trees. So what is God's perspective? What did God tell you? You know, we got to be able to look at things from God's eyesight, God's view, not ours. And like I say, even pertaining to looking at things from God's view, we can't allow ourselves to be discouraged. We can't allow ourselves to listen to the opinions, looking to, you won't be able to do it because that's something that, you know, nobody in the family ever graduated high school, so I don't think you'll be able to do it, you know. Really? No, you might need to move around from that circle, regardless if it's family or friends. You might need to move around and pick responsible people within your circle. One thing we always say, if you are the smartest one in your circle, you're in the wrong circle. But also, like I said, the decisions that we make ultimately build our confidence. Think about the more obedience you give to God, obey God in every area of your life, and depend upon Him in every area of your life. Don't try to do it on your own. Don't even try to think about doing something on your own. Rely upon Him. And like I said, your obedience to God will build not just your confidence and your esteem, but also in your relationship and your trust in Him. As long as you're doing what God tells you to do and you're consulting Him, now you begin to start seeing yourself as how God sees you. You begin to start seeing things from God's perspective. And the things that it used to worry you, it won't worry you anymore. Because the things that used to bother you, that ain't your problem, that's God's problem. You know, think about that rich, spoiled kid. Daddy, I want this. Can you take care of that? Hey, that's where you got to look at it. That's God's responsibility, not yours. And so in order for you to build your confidence, spend more time in God's presence and not in the presence of people who are speaking negative, who don't want nothing, who ain't never had nothing and don't want you to have nothing. Look at the people that you're around. What do they have? Are they encouraging you or are they discouraging you? What is the verbiage? What is the verbiage of the people that's within your circle? The verbiage. Are they speaking God's truths or are they speaking Satan's lie? Remember, Satan is the father of lies, but also he's the author of confusion. And so, who is the spiritual father of the people that's within your circle? That's something you got to think about. And understand, if God told you to do something, He will always give you the fingerprints. He will always leave His fingerprints. And so, with that being said, I had somebody on the line, and I was gonna catch him. But just in case, you're not saved, I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is here to save and deliver, to set you free. And also, yeah, you might have had a shady past. You might have been told you'll never be anything. You might have been told you're nothing. Blah 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 blah. Whatever it is, that's not the final report. Look, if God didn't say it, don't believe it. God will redeem you. God can help you in whatever you're dealing with to help you to overcome. If there's any low self-esteem, if there are some unforgiveness, not just pertaining to other people, but even yourself, God wants you to learn to forgive not just those that are other people, but even you. You might have made some mistakes in the past. Forgive yourself. Love yourself. Give yourself grace. And I'm not saying that to dismiss, you know, what may have transpired. But to be honest with you, all we can do, God, forgive me. God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Give me another chance. But, you know, we up here, I got to feel pain. I hurt this person badly, or I did wrong. I got to feel, and people think the severity of the pain that they cause has to be the same severity that they feel. No. That's why, unfortunately, so many people, they end up hurting themselves. They end up self-mutilization or cutting themselves or whatever, because they feel like their forgiveness or the pain that they have to feel forgiven, have to match the pain that they have caused pertaining to whatever transpired. No. You are precious. You are precious. Look, you don't need to be hitting yourself, beating yourself, burning yourself, whatever it is. Stop torturing yourself. That's the trick of the devil. They're trying to make you feel like, well, you have to do that, because understand, you're doing that to borrowed property. Your body is not your own. Your body belongs to God. So why are you torturing yourself? Why are you torturing yourself when God wants you to be forgiven? The devil's trying so bad to make you feel like, well, forgiveness is hard. It ain't hard. It's not hard. But the devil's trying to make you think that it's hard. It ain't. Forgive yourself. Give yourself grace. And know, you know what? God can help you. That's why I talk about salvation. I know some people, well, you know, you need to talk about salvation. Yes, yes, yes. Salvation, everything in this life pertains to salvation. Because, I'm going to say the steps. The first step of salvation, when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the penalty of sin is removed. Now, the penalty of sin is actually death. But because of us accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and accepting what he did on the cross, yes, we receive forgiveness from the penalty of sin. Now, the third aspect is the presence of sin. You know, when we leave here, go to our eternal home, I'm going to heaven. But the third phase, but the second phase of salvation we're dealing with right now, that's the presence of sin. I'm just giving you another present, Sam. But the power of sin or the influence of sin, this is something we have to deal with daily, and God want to help us in every area of our lives pertaining to us not being a slave to sin. So, yes, everything pertaining to this life, God want to help us to overcome whatever. So, yes, I wanted to make sure to put that out there because you know, some people were, you know, you need to start talking about salvation. That is about salvation, because we are not alone in this journey, and God want to help us to overcome whatever the devil try to throw at us or whatever we may be dealing with. It is so important. So, yes, Jesus want to be included in every area of our lives for us to be able to get the help that we need. So that way we can be able to accomplish what he has for us to do. So, yes, the devil does not want you. The devil does not want you to receive the forgiveness. The devil wants you to still hold that dark cloud over your head, to blame yourself, to keep your low, to keep your self-esteem low, to make you feel like you're not worthy, to make you feel like you're inadequate, to make you feel like you're not important. We are important in the body of Christ. We are important. We are God's children. Now, we are loved by God, and we should love ourselves. And so for us to understand that God is here to help us, he's here to help us. I was reading, yes, every child needs to be. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, it is so important. It is so important because the devil right now, and I'm telling you from personal experience, the devil right now is trying to make us feel like we're not important. The devil is trying to make us feel like, well, you know, Your daddy wasn't in your life, so, you know, you ain't going to never be nothing, you know. Oh, and you'd be surprised what the devil is telling our young people. The devil's trying to make, well, you know, your daddy left because you when he found out that, you know, you were coming to the scene, he left. So the devil's trying to make us feel like we're the cause or, you know, well, maybe he didn't love me. Now we're wondering, are we loved? Now we're wondering, you know, who loved us? And so now the devil trying to make us look for love. Get this. He's trying to make us look for love, and we're finding lust. We're trying to look for love, and instead of looking for love, we end up, quote, unquote, trying to make love. We can't make love. We end up making babies. We end up making mistakes. We end up making wrong choices in life. We end up making decisions that we end up regretting. We end up, you know, doing things and becoming things that God did not want us to become. And all of a sudden, the devil make you feel like you got to do this, you got to do that. And we go so far, and as soon as we go far, he said, now why are you doing it? Now we're living with a life full of regrets. We're feeling like, oh, man, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done that. Well, this, you know, you were stupid for doing that. You were wrong for doing that. You'd be surprised the voices that are in our people's ear. And it's not just young people. It's a lot of older people living with a life full of regret. And now God want to talk to you. God want to have a conversation with you to say, look, I know you did that, but that's not you. Yeah, I know you said that, but that's not you. I know who you really are. See, that you did, that wasn't you that did that. That was hurt. That wasn't you that did that. You were seeking. You were trying to find love instead of trying to find me. But I'm here. I'm here to help you. And so God wants us to be able to understand, and regardless of the mistakes that we made, God wants us to still go to him. God does not want us to avoid him. God wants us to have that conversation with him. God, you know what? I messed up. God, forgive me. I messed up. Okay. And then guess what? You messed up again. You think God is saying, look, if this joker come up to me one more time, I'm not going to forgive them. No. To be honest with you, some people may not get it right the first time. Still go to God. Still ask for forgiveness. But also still forgive yourself. Look here. Continue to get yourself up. Continue to pick yourself up. Even if nobody else picked you up, you pick yourself up, but also understand God want to help you to be picked up. So don't allow the devil to make you feel like, well, you know, you'll never be nothing. You know, I feel the need to say this. I know there are so many people that's been influenced by people that were told there'll never be anything by their family or even their significant other. Yeah, the person that said that to you might have been close to you, but I'm telling you from personal experience, ain't nobody closer than Jesus Christ. So my question, I want you, your mother, your father, your family may have said some heinous stuff to you. It might have said some hurtful things to you. But you know what? Still forgive them, for they know not what they did. See, it might have been hurt that was talking to them. It might have been resentment. It might have been jealousy that was talking through them. There are so many sons that were told by their mother, oh, you just like your daddy. You'll never be nothing. And now they got to live that in the back of their mind because their mother may have told them they just like their daddy and meant that in a malicious way with an ill motive. And because their father is absentee from, I'm not going to say from the child's life, but from the mother's life. Now, the same to their son. Regardless of that, that doesn't mean he's not important. My son, That doesn't
mean you're real smart ass real quick.
Yeah.
You know
what?
I can do it.
It might have been hurt that had her to say that. But
you
that doesn't define who you are.
We
it might have been that dog that may be watching.
That
might have been told by her father. The father that she loved. The father that she was close to. Oh, you just like your mother. I can't stand you. You even look like her. I can't stand her. Baby, that doesn't mean that you're not
sure
her. That doesn't mean that nobody cares. You still have the potential to be somebody great. I'm not just saying being good. No. Being somebody great. You might have been on your own. You might have felt alone. No matter what. No matter what. God said, I will never leave nor forsake you. I will never abandon you. I'm going to throw something else out there. Your child's father may have told you, you suck, hate you, call you a B word, the A word, all that doesn't define who you are. And also, too many people are out there. That baby mama may have told you, you know what, you ain't nothing, and blah, blah, blah. I mean, ready to put you down less than a man. I still want to tell you, you still a man. But most importantly, you're not just a king, but you're still a child of God. And just because she may have said it, does not mean that it defines who you are. That doesn't mean that it's true what she said. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. In spite of that, God can still help you to recover from the malicious words that were said. So like I said, just in case you may be curious in knowing about Jesus, Jesus died for our sins. And he want to have a personal relationship with us. He want to have a personal relationship with you. Allow him to come into your life, to come into your heart. And I'm telling you, you will never be alone. He will allow you, he will have you to talk to him. He's a counselor. He's a comforter. He's a shelter in a time of storm. He's all that we need. Now, I'm not saying that it is excluding a relationship with people, but what I'm saying is to make your life mean something, worth something, yeah, accept him and allow him to help you to choose responsible people within your responsible heart. Matter of fact, Romans 10 and 9 tells us that thou shalt confess Jesus Christ as our Savior and believe with your heart God to raise him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart and believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In other words, confession meaning saying the same thing that God said about a situation, saying what he said about it, and believing it. If God said it, I'm believing it, and I'm saying what God said about it. But if God didn't say it, I'm not going to say it. So my question is, in accepting Christ said, what did Jesus say about you? In accepting what God said about a situation, what did God say about while you? What about that? What did God say about you? And you know what I'm feeling right now? Somebody right now, they don't even know what to say. You know what? That's good. That's a good thing. It's a good start. Don't try to figure out what to say. But allow these words to resonate in your spirit. You are loved by God. God loves you. Matter of fact, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life or eternal life. Key word. It sounds good to say love. But let's think about that word before love. So loved the world. So loved the world. He loved us before we were lovable, before we were huggable. He still loved us. So if God can love you, if God can love you while you were an enemy of Him, and now you are a child of God, don't you know He wants His child to not only love Him, but love Himself. Look at yourself through the lens of God and ask God to help you have the corrective lens to see from His perspective, not yours. From His word path, from His word, not your pain. From His word, not the opinion of others. Because the opinion of others can leave your mind, but the fact of God can never leave His word. Start listening to the facts. What did God say? And rest upon Him. Rely upon Him. And know that He loves you. And so do we. Let us pray. Dear Father, we come to you right now. We thank you all for your awesomeness. We come to you right now, God. We acknowledge your presence today. God, we come to you right now, God. First of all, ask God to help us right now, God. Help us in every area of our lives right now. In the name of Jesus. Help us, God, to submit to your will and your ways right now. In the name of Jesus. Help us, God, to forgive, God. Help us, God, not only forgive those who may have said things, done things towards us, but God, we even ask God to help us, God, to even forgive ourselves, God. If there are any decisions that we made that we still wrestling with, help us, God, to relinquish and give all that to you, God. God, we give you every hurt. We give you every disappointment. We give you every wrong decision right now in the name of Jesus. God, help us, God, not only to receive your grace, but give ourselves some grace, God. Give ourselves, God, the mercy right now, God. Help us, God, to no longer punish or beat ourselves up right now in the name of Jesus. God, we seek, God, that you build our self-esteem, God, that you build our confidence, God, confidence in you first and foremost, God. Help us, God, to develop that relationship with you right now, God. Help us right now, God, in every area of our lives right now. God, we give you permission. We give you access in our lives right now. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for turning things around. God, we thank you for helping us, God, to have these spiritual corrective lenses, God, to help us, God, to be able to accomplish what you have us to do right now. In the name of Jesus, we bind everything the devil stands for. We counsel the devil's assignment right now. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you right now, God, for victory, God. We thank you right now, God, for not giving up on us, God. God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy and your unfailing love right now. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask God to help those, God, who are grieving right now, God. Touch their bodies, touch their minds right now, God. God, restore their joy, God. Restore, God, and give them strength, God. In the name of Jesus. Anybody that may be sick, God, touch and heal their bodies right now. From the crown of their head to the sole of their feet right now. In the name of Jesus, go to the hospital room, God. Bring healing, God. Bring deliverance right now. In the name of Jesus, you know each and every person right now, God, by name, God, by character right now, God. God, we speak, God, that you touch their bodies, touch their minds right now, God. Line up every cell, every tissue, every organ. Line up with your word of healing and wholeness right now. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this testimony, God. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done, but most importantly, everything that you are. And we speak in, God, a blessed week, God. We thank you, Lord, for the week that you have allowed us to have, God. And we speak in forth, God, for a blessed week, a blessed, prosperous week, God, spiritually, mentally, physically, even financially and emotionally right now. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you, Lord, for your guidance and your leading on today, God. And we thank you, Lord, for everything you've done, but most importantly, everything that you are. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen, amen, amen. I thank you for watching this. Thank you for watching this show. And I'm praying that there was something that was said that will encourage you and give you some insight. If you want to get in contact with me, my name is Brother Prater. You can catch me on Facebook under Brother Prater, B-R-O-T-H-E-R, Prater, P-S and Paul, R-A-T-S and Tom, E-R. On Facebook, I write my daily devotions and also my videos I make. Also, you can go to my website as well as my app. I do have a mobile app. It's available on Android and Apple, and it is free. It's free. You can go to the daily devotion page where you'll see my daily devotions. Also, you can go to the calendar where it shows where I'll be appearing at, as well as you can go to the store section where you can purchase my book and other merchandise. Purchase my book, A Few Good Men, A Path to Godly Fatherhood. A Few Good Men was written to inform men their needs and their responsibility towards their family, their children, even their children's mother, regardless if they're with them or not. But also, it not only speaks to the men, but also speaks to the ladies to let us know that the needs of men. And also, just in case you may have some children, being able to a potential future father to present or future children. Also, the second book, The Girl Who Was Her Brother's Keeper, The Love Beyond Life, is a tribute to my sister, Sheila Prater, who was tragically killed during a domestic violence relationship. And, you know, I thank God for her, and I'm gonna continue to talk about her. But I thank God for her, and I appreciate it. And one thing I can say, she affected so many people's lives. And I appreciate the love that people still continue to give me, that new Sheila. And I'm honored, you know. Hey, I'm Sheila Prater's brother. And I'm honored. And so with that being said, I thank each and every one of y'all for tuning in to Reconnect My Heart. Thank you for everything. And God bless you and good night. Have a blessed week.
Yes.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.